Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We've just completed a study of 1 Peter, and this evening we want to begin a study of Peter's second letter. Remember that he wrote two of the letters found in the New Testament. The New Testament actually contains 21 letters. Some of these letters were written to individuals. Some of them were written to congregations. But some very important teachings concerning Christianity are found in that particular section of the New Testament. Well, Peter was one of the writers of the New Testament letters. I love to study about Peter. He's a very interesting character. And when I study about him, I'm reminded of something that one of my teachers used to say. I've shared it with you on other occasions, but I always try to keep it in mind. He used to tell us in class, the Lord can take a bad man and make a good man out of him. The Lord can take a good man and make a better man out of him. Well, I think we see that that particular principle illustrated in the life of Peter. I believe that Peter was a good man, but he was a man, and he made some mistakes. But after spending time with the Lord and following his instructions, you can just see Peter growing and developing and becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. He's a very interesting character. You know, a lot of people today, I believe, would just like to eliminate a lot of Bible characters. And I love to study characters in the Bible. There's so much to learn from them and so much encouragement to receive from them. Today in our society, people look back in history, and if a man made a mistake, they want to eliminate him from history. I think that's a serious mistake because there's a lot to learn, even from people who have made mistakes. Well, the Bible paints a very vivid picture of all of its characters. The Bible points out the good things as well as the things that are not so good, and some things that are just downright evil. The Bible tells it all. Yet, when I think about Peter, he denied Christ. And the third time, he did so with cursing and swearing. Did Jesus give up on him? No. No, he didn't. And you see what Peter became. The Lord used him to record a tremendous amount of helpful information. We just studied the first letter, and that letter was written to Christians who were undergoing a fiery trial. And Peter revealed a number of responsibilities that must be fulfilled even while undergoing difficulties. And he illustrated those points by referring often to the example of Christ, how that Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Yet he was abused and mistreated by people. But he finished his course. He ran his race. And Peter holds the Lord up as our great example. Well, there's some helpful information revealed to us in this second letter. It's only three chapters long. But we want to spend a little bit of time studying what Peter wrote in this very important letter. Tonight we want to look at the information that's given to us in the first 11 verses. So let's read those verses together. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's first consider some introductory matters that are given to us in verses 1 and 2. As we've already mentioned, Simon Peter was the inspired writer. He put his name on this letter, so there's no doubt about who wrote it. It came from Simon Peter. Now remember, he was inspired of God as he recorded these things. Peter referred to himself as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting that the apostles often refer to themselves in that way. They first refer to themselves as servants, then as apostles. Isn't that a sign of true humility? Well, they realize the importance of service. And Peter, I think it's very interesting, referred to himself first as a servant of the Lord, then as an apostle. But keep in mind that when Peter wrote his letter, he was actually doing what the Lord told his followers to do when he gave the Great Commission. Let's look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. This is Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice that Jesus told the apostles to teach, and then to baptize, and then to do some additional teaching. That additional teaching involved instructing people who had become Christians to follow the things that Jesus taught them. So when Peter and the other apostles went forth teaching, were they teaching their own words? No. They were teaching the words that Christ had taught them. So when we study Peter's letters, just keep in mind that he was fulfilling one of the responsibilities that Jesus gave to him as well as the other apostles. They were to teach, baptize, and then teach those who had been baptized to observe all things that Christ had commanded them. But as we continue to look at verses 1 and 2, we see that Peter wrote this letter to Christians. And we need to keep in mind that his primary purpose for writing was to encourage Christians to remain faithful unto the Lord. It basically, isn't that what he did in the first letter? Well, he did the same thing in the second letter. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. As he was about to conclude his second letter, Peter said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And that's a warning against falling. And Peter said, you need to take heed so that you remain faithful unto the Lord. So Peter's primary purpose in writing this letter was to encourage Christians to remain faithful unto the Lord. Now, it's sad, but some people had the idea that it's impossible for a child of God to fall away. The Bible doesn't teach that. As a matter of fact, we just read where Peter warned against it. So it's important for us to understand what the New Testament teaches and then practice it to the very best of our ability. Now, in his second letter, Peter emphasize the importance of remembering certain things. And if you'll notice very carefully what Peter wrote, he says, I'm going to bring this to you, remember, even though you know them. We learn by repetition, don't we? Well, let's notice what he wrote. Chapter 1, we've already read down through verse 11. Let's continue at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter is emphasizing the importance of keeping certain things in our memory. Look also at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In connection with the Lord's return that he dealt with in this chapter, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Notice that Peter mentioned the importance of remembering certain teachings. Well, that just seems to be something that Peter emphasized in the second letter, that is remembering certain things. And I think it's very interesting that he said, "I know you know these things, but I want to remind you of them anyway." I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. When I first started preaching, I thought that if I dealt with something one time, that ought to be sufficient. Well, then I did some study of the Lord's teaching. You know how often he repeated things? Jesus is the master teacher, and he understood the importance of repetition. What about Peter? He said, "I know that you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them anyway because you need to keep them in your memory." Well, I changed my mind on that. We learn by repetition. We need to be reminded on a regular basis of certain very important principles, because if we're not reminded of them, guess what? They'll leave us. Well, we need to think about that. So Peter, as an inspired writer, mentioned the importance of remembering certain things. If we will remember certain things revealed to us in this letter, it will help us to remain faithful to the Lord. Well, those are some introductory matters given to us in verses 1 and 2. Now let's look at verses 3 through 7 of chapter 1. And Peter shows that God has given us what we need to be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, God has given us what we need so that we can be his true children. Well, what has he given to us? Look at verse 3. "He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Now that passage says all things, doesn't it? All things that pertain to life and godliness. God's given it to us. Over the years, I've heard several people make a statement to the effect of, "I wish God had revealed such and such." And over the years, I've sort of developed this mindset. I can spend the rest of my life, and I hope I do, studying the scriptures to learn what God has revealed, to the point that I don't have time to worry about what he hasn't revealed. And if I haven't learned it all, I will have forgotten part of it, and I need to go back and study it again. Worried about what God hasn't revealed is a waste of time. We need to spend our time in a positive way, concentrating on those things that pertain to life and godliness, because God has given us all things in that regard. So Peter gives us a message of assurance as he's beginning his letter, that God has given us what we need to be partakers of the divine nature. In that regard, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I believe in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said, the secret things belong to God. Those things that he has revealed, I'm paraphrasing, belong to us and our children. In other words, God has given us what we need. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very reassuring. In addition to all things that pertain unto life and godliness, verse 4 shows that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. I love the way that the Bible describes certain things. When it comes to God's promises, they are described by Peter as being exceeding great and precious. Now, if something is exceedingly great, I would consider that to be very special, wouldn't you? If something is described as being precious, I would think that it would be very special. But if something is exceedingly great and precious, well, that's something of great value. And God has given us some very special promises. Those promises are revealed in Scripture, and we can have confidence in them. There's one thing that God can't do. We've mentioned this many times. He cannot lie. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. We see that illustrated over and over again throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. When God made promises to some of his great people, he kept them. And they would observe how God kept his promises. We're thinking about things that God has given us so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. First thing, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In addition to that, he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, we see that God has given us certain characteristics that he wants us to develop and he wants us to grow in. These characteristics are commonly called the Christian graces. And Peter shows that each Christian is to develop these characteristics with all diligence. That means to put forth great effort. I know Pat enjoys watching the Braves. I haven't talked to her this year much about the Braves. Teresa and I watched the Tampa Bay Rays some. They were doing real well for a while, but lately they've had a lot of injuries and not been doing too well. There's one thing I've noticed about athletes over the year, whether it's baseball, football, whatever the sport might be. Some athletes give all diligence when it comes to playing their sport, and some frankly don't. And you can tell the difference. The ones that are usually the most successful are the ones who put forth the most diligence. And every once in a while, Tampa Bay will have a player that isn't doing very well. In a matter of a few weeks, he's gone back to Durham, to AAA ball. Maybe to AA ball, wherever that team is. I don't remember where. You put forth diligence if you want to be successful as an athlete. Well, I think we can see that when it comes to sports. Well, what about Christianity? To be successful in applying these things that relate to being partakers of the divine nature, we have to give all diligence to developing the Christian graces. And the very foundation upon which these graces are to be added is faith. Now, Lord willing, if my plan goes as I'd like to, we want to take an in-depth look at faith next week, and then look at each one of the Christian graces before we continue on in our study of the letter. Because these matters are just that important. How important is faith? Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Faith is the very foundation upon which these graces are to be added. Well, what are the graces? We'll take a brief look at them in this lesson. First on the list is virtue. Now, in a general sense, virtue relates to what we would call moral goodness. But as the word is used in this particular passage in the Christian graces, it has to do with courage and the determination to do what is right. Virtue is greatly lacking in our world today, but when someone possesses it, that person stands out. Having the courage and the determination to do what is right. To virtue is to be added knowledge. Now, some of these words are used many times in a general sense, but we need to be concerned with the meaning of the words as they are used in this particular section of Scripture. In general, knowledge has to do with being aware of facts. Either we're taught something or we read something, somehow we learn it. Well, that's knowledge, being aware of facts. But in this passage, it's a little bit more specific. Knowledge has to do with a special kind of wisdom, that is moral wisdom, and it's demonstrated by living correctly. Well, it enables us to know what is right so we can put it into practice. Well, as I said last Lord's Day, God's word determines right and wrong. We learn what is right from the Scriptures. We learn what is wrong. I know as well as you do that certain subjects may not be specifically mentioned in the Bible. But if it's something that pertains to life and godliness, there will be some Bible principles revealed that will help us to determine whether that practice is right or wrong. Well, knowledge is very special. To knowledge is to be added temperance. Temperance is self-control or self-discipline. To temperance is to be added patience. Sometimes when I use the word patience, I figure most of the time I'm referring to the ability to wait calmly for something to take place. You have to have patience to be a successful fisherman. You have to exercise some patience because when you go out and drop your hook in the water, the fish don't just automatically jump on there. Sometimes you just have to wait a while. You have to be patient. I can remember when I was a little kid, we'd go fishing out on Lake George. I learned from my parents the value of being able to wait patiently. Well, the patience under consideration here in the Christian graces has to do with endurance, perseverance, or steadfastness. It has to do with the ability to bear up under trials. Lord willing, we'll talk more about patience, but the Bible teaches in James chapter 1 that we develop patience as a result of being tested. And the Bible in that connection teaches us to pray for wisdom. To patience is to be added godliness. Godliness has to do with reverence or respect toward God. Here's a word that we don't use much anymore, but piety is another word that goes along with godliness. Reverence or respect toward God. I'm amazed today at how many people don't even believe in God. Well, that's sad. When someone demonstrates some godliness, that person stands out. To godliness is to be added brotherly kindness. Now, this is brotherly love, and it's a love that Christians have for each other as brothers and sisters. Let's notice what's written about brotherly kindness or brotherly love in Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." That's what's under consideration in the Christian graces. But then to brotherly kindness or brotherly love is to be added charity or love. Charity is the old English word for love. And this is a special kind of love that seeks what is best for other people in all situations, even though great sacrifice might be involved. This is the kind of love that Jesus commanded in John chapter 13. Let's read verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Well, these are the Christian graces. And Peter mentioned them in connection with the fact that God has given us what we need so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. What has he given to us? Well, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. And he's given us these graces or these characteristics that we're to develop with all diligence. Well, let's look now at verses 8 through 11 of 2 Peter 1, and we learn why developing these graces is so important. Let's first look at the negative part in verse 9. Peter said that those who fail to develop the graces have a problem with their vision. He says that they're spiritually blind and short-sighted. He also said that those who fail to develop the graces have a memory problem. They have forgotten that they were purified. Now let's notice what Peter had to say about this matter of spiritual purification in the first letter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Well, we need to remember what a Lord accomplishes when he purifies us. We need to always remember that. Well, that's the negative part. Those who fail to develop these graces have a vision problem. They've also got a memory problem. But let's look at the positive side now. Those who develop the graces with all diligence will be fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. That's in verse 8. How did Peter conclude his letter? "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior." Those who develop the graces with all diligence will be fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. They'll show by their actions that they know the Lord and that he's influencing us. According to what Peter wrote in verse 10, those who develop the graces with all diligence will remain faithful. Let's let Peter tell us again. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." These things refers to the Christian graces. He said, if you do these things, you will never fall. I believe we might call that blessed assurance. Now, why did Peter write this letter? To encourage Christians to remain faithful. This is one part of information that he gives to us. By developing the graces with all diligence, we're making our calling and election sure. He went on to say in verse 11 that those who develop the graces with all diligence will be blessed with a home in heaven. He said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's some powerful information given to us in these opening verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. We would do well to study this information diligently, understand it, and then put it into practice. Developing these graces will produce great results. And frankly, this old world needs to see people who have been influenced by the Lord to the point that they're working on these graces with all diligence. We do that, we'll have a great influence upon others who are observing our behavior. So we need to give diligence to developing these graces and constantly growing in them. Do we ever get to the point where we say, well, I think I've got enough godliness in my life. I think I'll just take it easy now and not worry about it anymore. No. Adding these graces with all diligence means that we strive to develop them, but then continue to grow in them. We never get to the point where we say, well, I think I've got enough temperance in my life. I certainly don't. I don't know too many other people who would make that statement. But these are important matters. And think about what Peter went through in his life. Not only was he an inspired writer, revealing to us things that Jesus taught him, but Peter lived these things. And not only are we able to profit from his instructions, but we're also able to profit from his example.